It's the first Sunday of Advent. A happy new year. First Sunday of the new church year, if you will. Doesn't seem like a good time to sing Auld Lang Syne or anything like that. It doesn't quite work that way. But a new church year begins, as always, on the first Sunday of Lent. And the first Sunday of Lent is the Sunday of hope. And I've always been grateful for that. Because hope is one of those things that we simply have to have. One of the things that they've been able to do through studies of people who have made their way and who have survived or not survived through catastrophic situations, isolation, being lost in the wilderness, being imprisoned justly or unjustly, whatever else it might be. One of the things that has characterized people who have made it through is that they had a sense of hope. Or more to the point, they weren't hopeless. We are called to be hopeful people. And some days that's easier than others, isn't it? It's easy to be hopeful when the weather's nice, when our digestion is good, when our friends and family are well, when we've just received good news, all of those things make it easy to be hopeful. And that's good. It's good to be. It's nice when hope is easy to find. But what do we do when it's not quite so easy? When the weather isn't good. When we're snowed in. When we're worried whether that loved one will be able to make it from wherever they are to us for the celebration that we want them to be there for. When the diagnosis isn't what we wanted at all. How are we hopeful then? And how do our texts help us to be hopeful? One of the things that we do in church is we come together, not just to be together, although that's a critical component of it. We come not just to hear someone give a seminar on some interesting topic, or even useful topic. We come together in community that together listening to the Holy Spirit open the Word of God before us so that we might know what's there for us. And we don't always know exactly what it is. Sometimes it's tricky. Sometimes we have to dig a little bit. And as I was looking at these texts, I was looking for the word hope, and I can't say I really found it. So I was looking for the idea of hope. And where we find the idea of hope in all three of our texts is that the day is coming when the Lord will come back in a way that will be unmistakable. I don't know what that will look like. I don't know when that will be. Nobody does, no matter how many books they write and how many seminars they give. We don't know when that's going to happen. We've been assured that it will. And that is one of the things that gives us hope. Now, it's very possible for that to be considered a bit of a sort of a coolish, if not actually cold, hope. You know, it's the same kind of hope that says, you know, all things being equal, your great-great-grandchildren will live longer than you will. Okay. Probably even true. My grandchildren are 10, 10, and 8. I got a long way to go before I get great-great-grandchildren, and I don't come from the long-lived side of the family. That's my partner. I don't expect to see that. Does that give me hope? Well, I guess so. But does that give me hope for today? No. I'm afraid it doesn't. It's just a thing to think about. Do our texts give us hope for today? Luke has Jesus saying there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides, and people will be terrified of what they see. Well, wherever it came from, whatever we might think of its origin or something else, there's something going on with the earth. As the climate changes, We're seeing more storms in different places. We're seeing more rain or more snow or less snow. Things are changing, and that creates turmoil. I'm not sure I find that very hopeful. And yes, we see then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud. Well, I don't see that today. So that part isn't hopeful for today. So the hope comes from this illustration, this very common enough that you don't even have to have grown up on a farm to understand the illustration of the fig tree or any other tree, as Jesus says. We look at the tree, and when the leaves come out, we know without being told that summer is near. We see that it is on its way. It's an unmistakable sign. Now, sometimes the trees come out with leaves a little early, and we get a late snow, which is a nasty trick on the trees and us. But we know summer is on its way. And so when we're looking for hope, these particular texts don't have any magical power. They don't have any profound, if you think these three things in a row, everything will go well for you. Because that's not how the Bible works. That's not how God works. Instead, what we see is some comfort given to us that when we see the changes in the world, many of which we don't like, many of which surprise us, many of which we wish wouldn't have come at all, at the same time as many other good things, Jesus says, remember that these things are like the leaves coming out on a tree. And in the same way that there's no force on earth that can prevent a tree from leafing out, well, other than cutting it down, when summer comes, this is just part of the natural process of trees. And in the same way, the supernatural, if you will, process of these things happening, they happen first, and then at some point, everything will be wrapped up. As I said, I don't really know when that's going to happen. I know some things that Jesus says will happen first, and they seem to be happening now. I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus came back tomorrow, or if it didn't happen in my lifetime. I'm not going to be surprised either way. But what I am going to be is I'm going to be hopeful. I'm going to be hopeful because this isn't the only time that Jesus has said things. When I look at what Jesus has said about how the world works and how Jesus interacts with us, when I look at words or when Jesus says things like, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. And I look at my life now and I compare it to my life then when I didn't have a meaningful relationship with God through Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit. I have a fuller life. When I look at the things that Jesus says that are easily ascertainable, whether they're true or not, they're true. So I look at those things. And on the basis of those, I say, well, if Jesus came that I might have life and have it to the full, and that worked out, when I look at Jesus working through peacemakers, working through the meek, working through those who have suffered loss to change the world and to make it better, when I look at these things, it gives me confidence when Jesus says, this will happen. And so I have hope. And because without hope, I really have nothing. And this isn't the trivial hope that, you know, my car will start, although some winters that hasn't, it's been a pretty big hope. But it's not that kind of hope. It's not the hope that I make it to work without a fender bender. I mean, we're not talking about those things only, although those are still there. We're talking about, do we have hope for the future? Do we have a deep sense that what we're doing matters? That are we connected with a community that is making a difference in its larger community as much as it's able? Or working towards that? I look at what you do at Trinity. I look at what Trinity Presbyterian is doing, working with the ministerial and some other things. And this congregation gives me tremendous hope. Because good things are happening. The kinds of things are happening that Jesus talked about. That people will understand more what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It doesn't mean following a bunch of rules. It doesn't mean deciding who's in and who's out. It doesn't mean setting up barriers to other people. It means inviting whoever wants to come in and join our community if they want to. This is a very welcoming church. Coming into it, you have this feeling that this is a good place to be. It's a hopeful place. Most churches I go to, because I'm careful what churches I go to now, most churches I go to give me that same sense of hope, whether they're big or small. Because the hope comes from knowing that as we follow Jesus, Jesus will make sure the things that we need to do will be discernible by us in the wisdom of elders and in the congregation that this is a thing we should do, and that we will be successful in those things. Not necessarily in the way that the world might calculate success, but in the way that we do, in lives changed and in a difference made. I'm delighted, as I said, that the church year begins with hope. Because I need hope. We all need hope. I don't think it's possible to have too much hope. At least I don't think I've ever had too much. But what this reminds us is that we begin the year hopeful for what is going to come because of who we serve. And that even when we look out at the terrible things that are happening here and there all over the world, we see them not just as the tragedies that sometimes they are, but also as leaves of a tree, reminding us that yes, summer is coming, and we can be hopeful. Amen.